Our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, we have been reading the words of the angels. Glory to God in the highest. And Father, in this service today, we want glory to be brought to your name. We want you to be glorified. And so we pray for the help of the Holy Spirit. Lord, our bodies are weak, our minds are weak. We are frail creatures of the dust. But Lord, we pray that the mighty Spirit of God, the blessed third person of the Trinity, who miraculously prepared the body of Christ in the womb of the Virgin Mary, we pray that that same blessed Holy Ghost will come and help us today, preacher and congregation alike, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Christmas comes softly, wrapping its loveliness about the world, and once again the most beautiful message on earth is repeated: peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Those are the words from a Christmas card that we received last week, and it's that time of year, and the Christmas cards are coming through the letterbox. But those words were on the front of one of the cards that we received last week, and I was struck by the words, and they're written by a lady called Helen Steiner Rice. I'm sure you've heard the name. She was a Christian lady, and she wrote beautiful, inspirational poetry. And those words speak about the loveliness of Christmas and the loveliness of the message of Christmas: peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And I want us this morning, for the remainder of the service, to turn to Luke chapter 2 and to go to the field in Bethlehem, the shepherd's field. You remember we were in the field last Sunday night. Even though we were in the church here, we were also in the field, the shepherd's field. So let's go back. Let's journey back. Come with me back again this morning to the shepherd's field. And we're going to consider the great carol, the great hymn of Christmas that Charles Wesley wrote. And it's one of the most popular Christmas hymns: Hark, the Herald Angels Sing. By the way, I hope today that you will hark. Did you ever think about that word, hark? Hark, the Herald Angels Sing. What does the word hark mean? It means listen. Listen. So I hope that between now and the end of the service, you'll not be looking at your watch or looking at your shoes or fiddling in your pocket with something or looking at your mobile phone. I hope that you'll hark. I pray you'll listen to the message that the Lord has for you this morning. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 13, we read there, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." These verses are what inspired Charles Wesley to write his great Christmas carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. It was first published in the year 1739. That was actually the same year that his brother John Wesley was converted. And so the great hymn, the great carol, came into being, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. But I wonder, did you know that there were other men who were responsible for the writing of this carol? You see, Charles Wesley wasn't the only man involved in it, but George Whitefield played a part in it. And I know that people say, oh, that Whitefield and the Wesleys were at each other's throats because they believed totally different things. Well, I don't agree with that. I believe that they differed on minor issues, But they agreed to disagree, and they looked on each other as colleagues, as companions in the Lord's service. And we find that George Whitefield helped in the writing of this great Christmas carol. Have you ever thought about the music for Hark the Herald Angels Sing? You see, the music was written, it was composed by a man called Felix Mendelssohn. And if you look in a hymn book today, in the music of the hymn book, the tune is called Mendelssohn. Mendelssohn. And Felix Mendelssohn was born into a Jewish home, but he became a Christian. He grew up in a Jewish family, but the Lord reached him and saved him, and he became a believer. Do you know that Felix Mendelssohn wanted to write a hymn or a cantata, a music, not a hymn, music, I should say. He wanted to write music for a man called Johann Gutenberg. And you say today, well, who on earth is he? Gutenberg. He was the man who invented the printing press. Johann Gutenberg. And today we should thank God for the invention of the printing press. Because you see, before the printing press was invented, people like John Wycliffe had to write down the scriptures in our mother tongue. But then the time came whenever Gutenberg invented the printing press, and my, the Bible started to be printed, and people could have a copy of the Bible, and the Bibles were in the churches across the land, and it was all because of the printing press, and all because God had moved this man, Johann Gutenberg, to invent the printing press. And so Mendelssohn, he wanted to compose a piece of music to show his appreciation to Gutenberg for the invention of the printing press. And he composed what's called cantata. And one of the tunes in the cantata was the tune that we sing, Hark the Herald Angels, to Mendelssohn. And that's the tune that we use for this great Christmas carol to this very day. So there is history behind this Christmas carol. Of course, it is a doxology. It's known as a doxology. It's a hymn of praise to the Lord, glory to the newborn King. And to quote the scriptures, glory to God in the highest. It's always good to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord even when you're having a difficult day. The Bible tells us, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's good to praise the Lord. It's good to glorify His name. But I want us today to think about the angels. And you see, the Bible has much to say about angels. I love the angels. And I hope that you love them too. Now, I didn't say I worship the angels, because that's wrong and it's unscriptural. And no man should worship an angel. You remember whenever John, I should say, in Revelation, the Bible tells us that John fell down before the angel, but the angel said, worship God. In other words, get up. Don't fall down before me. I'm just your fellow servant. Stand up on your feet, John, and worship the Lord. So we ought not to worship angels, but we ought to love angels. And I do. Let me tell you why I love angels. Because they have no envy. You see, think about it. Whenever that angel came to the shepherd's field 2014 years ago, and whenever those other angels began to sing that beautiful praise to God, glory in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. As they sang the praises of God, there was not one iota of envy. Now, there could have been envy. You see, the Bible tells us that one third of the angels fell. They rebelled against the Lord with Lucifer, and a third of the stars of heaven, the Bible says, fell. That's a symbol for the angels. And there's one third of the angels are even to this day fallen spirits, fallen angels. And you know, these angels in Bethlehem's field could have turned around and said, "Aye, well, Lord, why are you not sending a savior for the angels? Lord, why don't you send a redeemer for the angels? Why don't you rescue the angels that have fallen? You think that we're going to sing about a savior for human beings and you haven't sent a savior for angels?" But thank God the angels didn't react like that. They didn't fill up with envy. No, even though salvation and even though the Savior didn't come to save the angels that had fallen, the angels were still full of joy and excitement as they relayed the message to those shepherds. That's one reason why I love the angels. There's another reason why I love the angels, because they had no pride. There was no pride. Whenever the angels came to the shepherds and they spoke and they sang to them, they didn't turn around and say, "Well, now I think we could go to more important people than this. Lord, do you not think that we could go to the palace? Do you not think that we could go to the temple, Lord? Do you not think, Lord, that we could go and speak to King Herod first? Do you not think we should go to the high priest first?" But no, they were humble creatures. There was no pride. They were willing to come to the shepherds. And remember last Sunday night we spoke about the shepherds. We said that they were poor, that they were despised, that they were hated, and yet we see these beautiful angels going with joy and with gladness to the shepherds. And so whenever I think about the angels, my heart rejoices. My heart fills up with admiration for them. Now, I didn't say, let me repeat it and re-emphasize it. I didn't say adoration. I said admiration. Thank God for the angels. Thank God for the herald angels that Charles Wesley wrote about. God's word speaks about angels. Let's just finish off this morning with some thoughts about the angels throughout Scripture. You know, the Bible tells us that angels are sent to defend the children of God. Did you ever think about what it says in verse 9 of Luke chapter 2? "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them." The angel of the Lord. And then think about Psalm 34, verse 7. "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them." Now, I know that there are some people today who are misguided and mistaken, and they talk about having their guardian angel, and they're not even saved. And there's a lot of foolish talk today about angels. But I want to say that every person who is trusting in the babe of Bethlehem and the Christ of the cross, every person has a guardian angel. Every believer, every child of God, every truly born again, blood washed individual has a guardian angel. So thank God we can say this morning our congregation is bigger than you think. Because you count how many people are in this sanctuary today and then double it. Well, that's if every one of us are saved. But whoever's saved in this service today, you've got a guardian angel, so that boosts the numbers in our church today, doesn't it? But thank God the angel is sent to defend the believer. You see, Christian, whenever you're attacked by the enemy, the angel of the Lord is there to defend you. Never forget that. And whenever people ridicule you and, you know, smart Alex belittle your faith and the gospel, you just remember that you've got an angel. In fact, you've got the angel of the Lord guarding you, defending you. My, what an encouragement for us. Because we are weak and we're frail and we're only human. But my, what a comfort to know that by our side, though invisible, stands the angel of the Lord. Moment by moment, hour by hour, during the daylight hours and during the night hours, the hours of darkness, the angel of the Lord maintains his perpetual watch. Angels are sent to defend the people of God. But you know, angels are not only sent to defend. The Bible talks about angels being sent, listen to it, to destroy. To destroy. Genesis chapter 18. You read it this afternoon. The angels were sent to Sodom and Gomorrah to destroy it. And the angels came to Abraham, and they spent some time in fellowship with Abraham, but then they had to be on their way, and they went towards Sodom. And they went to Sodom to rescue Lot and to bring out his wife and children, his daughters, before the judgment of God would fall. And so the angels, they not only are in this world to defend believers, but they're sent to destroy the wicked and the unbelievers. And people forget that today. Our nation, our government, our leaders have very conveniently forgot what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah all those years ago. And of course, they'll try to say these homosexuals, these gay activists, they'll try to say, oh, well, that record, that account of Sodom and Gomorrah, that's just a legend. It didn't really happen. And they talk about the God of the Old Testament. They try to ridicule the God of the Old Testament and belittle him. Well, I want to say today that Sodom did really happen. And God really did judge those two cities for their wickedness. And you know, Leonard Ravenhill wrote a book. Do you know what he called it? Sodom had no Bible. Sodom had no Bible. More or less what he was trying to say was that if God Almighty doesn't judge our Western nations for their sodomy today, he'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Because he judged Sodom and Gomorrah even though they didn't have the light of Scripture. We have the light of Scripture today. Our nation has been blessed with the light of the gospel, and yet we rebel against the light and we say that wickedness is goodness. That wickedness is good. We say that bitter is sweet and sweet is bitter. We say good is evil and evil is good. But you see, the angels were sent to destroy Sodom. You remember, the Bible also tells us about the angel of the Lord that destroyed the Assyrian army. 185,000 soldiers were killed in one night by one angel. You see, all I can say is, by trying to sum up this morning, is woe betide anyone who is the enemy of the Lord. Woe betide anyone who rises up against the Lord. The Bible says, woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Learn the lesson from Sodom and Gomorrah. Learn the lesson from the Assyrian army. If the people of Sodom and Gomorrah could come to this pulpit today, if the Assyrian soldiers could come to this pulpit today, they would say, don't dare reject the Lord. Don't dare raise your puny fists in his face. Because the Lord is the one who has said that his enemies shall be as the fat of lambs. Psalm 18. The fat of lambs. Remember the altars that were built, the lambs that were slain. The fat was consumed. It was the Lord's portion, and the fire fell upon it, and it was consumed. You know, for poor sinners who will repent, for those who will turn to Christ, and do a U-turn and follow the stranger of Galilee, thank God there's mercy. There's abundant mercy with the Lord today if you'll turn and repent. But for the person who stubbornly and with a stiff neck continues to reject the Lord and resist the Lord, that person will inevitably one day face the wrath of the Lord. Let me finish today by saying that angels not only defend, and angels not only destroy, but you see, thank God, angels also declare. Declare. Because we have read it today in Luke chapter 2, the great declaration of the angels. First of all, we have the herald angel, the individual angel who tells the shepherds about the Savior born in the city of David. He declared the message of salvation. And then the other angels, they join this solitary angel and they continue to declare the great message, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. What that really means, whenever the angels sang glory to God in the highest, they were really singing, salvation is the icing on the cake. Yes, creation brought great glory to God, but salvation is the icing on the cake. Salvation brings glory to God in the highest. And I want you to notice as we finish today that these words of the angels, they have a prophetic application. The angels were not only speaking about the present time in Bethlehem, but they were speaking about a future time. And they were speaking about the day whenever the Lord Jesus will return. Because, you see, they spoke about peace on earth. Well, as you look around today, you read your newspaper, you watch the television news reports, do you see much peace? There's not very much. There's war, there's fightings, there's murder, there's bloodshed. But you see, the angels were pointing forward to the future, to the day when Christ will come. And the Bible tells us that he will do away with violence and murder. And then there will be peace on earth. And the Bible speaks about the millennium. Whenever Christ will reign from Jerusalem for 1,000 years, my, what a government it will be then. Sometimes today you just say to yourself, what a pathetic government we have today. Some of the laws that they pass, some of the decisions that they make, sometimes you honestly have to laugh and you would almost cry when you see some of the things that are happening today. But when Christ returns, my, it'll be good government. And he'll create the new heavens, the new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Yes, that's what the angels were singing about.